This program contains explicit content and subject matter which may be unsuitable for some listeners. Discretion is advised. Sex Out Loud is brought to you by Good Vibrations, creating a buzz since 1977.
Smart. Sexy. Kinky. Fun.
Welcome to Sex Out Loud with your host, sex educator, author, and filmmaker, Tristan Taramino. It's sex-positive radio like you've never heard before. Tristan talks about sexuality from every angle with leading authors, experts, artists, and icons. From sex education and sexual politics to BDSM and non-monogamy, nothing is off limits. So get ready to open your mind and expand your horizons. This is Sex Out Loud. And now here's your host, Tristan Taramino.
Welcome to Sex Out Loud. Today's show is being recorded in front of a live studio audience. We are at CatalystCon East in Washington, D.C., and my guests are poet and spoken word artist Reggie Kabiko and sex educator and columnist Twana Hines. CatalystCon, oh, we can clap for that. CatalystCon is a fantastic event. It happens twice a year. It is a gathering of all sorts of people who are dedicated to a more sex-positive world. The next one is September 11th to the 14th, 2014, at the Westin LAX in Los Angeles. Go to catalystcon.com for more information. If you want to register, you can use coupon code Tristan for $10 off your registration. I'm really excited about my first guest, let me tell you. Reggie Kabiko is the first openly gay and Asian poet to take top prizes in the 93, 94, and 97 National Poetry Slam. He co-hosts La Tido, a weekly cabaret and spoken word series, and has appeared on two seasons of HBO's Deaf Poetry Jam and NPR's Snap Judgment. His latest solo play is Godiva Dates and a One Night Stand. It premiered at the 2013 Capital Fringe Festival. His plays have been produced at the Humana Theater Festival, Joe's Pub at the Public Theater, New York Live Arts, and Contact Theater. He has shared the stage with Patti Smith, Allen Ginsberg, and through Howard Zinn's Portraits Project at NYU, has performed with Stanley Tucci, Jesse Eisenberg, and Lupe Fiasco. Please welcome to the show, Reggie Kabiko.
All right, if you broke up with someone recently, make some noise. All right, on the count of three, I want you to tell me what your ex smells like. One, two, three.
Joe!
All right. When I was five, I smelled like a pile of hearts being poured into a tin man. My ex-boyfriend smells like salmon and vitamins. His new boyfriend smells like kitty litter. Together, they smell like an animal rescue. My ex-boyfriend told me my crotch smelled like B. Arthur's dentures. B. Arthur in The Golden Girls or B. Arthur in Futurama? My most recent fling happened in a bar that smelled like Neverland. As soon as I saw the fling, he showed me his penis on his iPhone. Now, I know technology means you get things right away, but that was just too immediate. I didn't know what to do, so I ran to the bathroom, pulled out my cell phone, and I photographed my penis. And when I came out, I pulled out my cell phone, and he pulled out his iPhone, and we were rubbing our cell phones together. And it smelled like a new kind of safe sex. It smelled like AOL dial-up internet. It smelled like the shake weights. It smelled like a flock of passenger pigeons flying south. I recently had a fling with a 19-year-old, so that makes me a cougar. A gay cougar. I'm not a cougar. I'm a jaguar. No, I'm not a jaguar. I'm a fagwire. Fuck me, I'm Reggie Kabiko. I'm a fagwire. Fagwires smell like deep-fried Twinkies and Dolly Parton's dildo. I just want to fall into a Merchant Ivory still and make love with a stable boy till we smell like sweet hay. When I went back to the Neverland bar, I met this hobbit who whispered in my ear, I just want to suck your dick. And I turned to the hobbit and I said, that is the nicest thing anyone's ever said to me. His offer smelled like 1,000 likes on Facebook. It smelled like the last episode of Extreme Home Makeover. And I said to the hobbit, I don't want a boyfriend. I just want to have sex with someone on a regular basis whose name I know that I don't have to pay for, who's not married and is conscious. Is that too much to ask? Hey, welcome. I'm so happy. I'm so excited to be here.
Oh, my God. Oh, that's my God. It? Okay, wait.
There's a little bit more to that.
Oh, wow.
It was just...
Wow.
I don't know. I am single and available. So if you have a brother, an uncle, a great-great-grandfather, someone who drives an ice cream truck, I will be there. I am, you know...
Reggie Cabico.
Yes.
Okay, we have to start from the beginning.
Okay.
Because it has been a really long time.
Yes.
I don't know if you remember the last time that we saw each other, but we know each other from back in the day.
Back in the day.
Like, I'm thinking Jerry Gomez Perlberg. I'm thinking the late poet Cheryl B. I'm thinking Emmanuel Xavier. I'm thinking poetry slams on the Lower East Side.
But there were gay bookstores.
Yes. A Different Light in Chelsea.
Like, yes, but it was there, and this was before the internet.
Yeah.
And people were writing in notebooks.
Yeah, and they were making zines and handing them out.
Yeah, exactly.
Exactly. Okay, that piece was fantastic for so many reasons. Dolly Parton's dildo being one of them. I don't know why, but that part like just jumped out at me. Like, what does Dolly Parton's dildo smell like? And I mean, it's perfumey for sure, right? But you know what it reminded me of? Uh-huh. It reminded me of Her, the movie.
Oh, yes.
In that, it's a kind of a meditation on love and sex and dating and desire in the modern age.
Right,
right,
exactly.
The iPhones.
Exactly. I can't keep up with all the technology and like the, you know, and the OkCupid and the dating. It's just not okay sometimes. I don't know. It's just been, so like a lot of my stuff is about definitely being queer, but also being single and confused. And I think when I met you, I was just a fierce Filipino guy that was like, you know, rah, rah, rah.
Yeah, I think you're still that.
I'm rah, 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 but I'm just a little, you know, bitter and cynical and confused. And so, yeah.
Okay, so what do you think about dick pics? Let's talk about that. I love this idea of someone just handing you a picture of their dick. It's like, does that ruin it for you? Like, did you want to build up to that?
I like the old-fashioned way, you know, where you just take off the clothes one by one.
And then you
and
see
not
it.
Just like, yes, just have like... You know, this whole dick collection that you just see, it's like a, you know...
Like catalog shopping.
It's like a wax museum, like in your palm of like dicks, pics.
So I saw this video of you on YouTube. Mm-hmm. You were at the speakeasy telling stories of growing up and your family and your mother. And apparently you grew up in a kind of religious household.
Oh, yeah.
So... How did it go over when you came out as your fabulous gay Filipino self?
Oh, well, here's the thing is that as soon as my poems came out, that's when I came out. Because when I was doing the poetry slam, you have 3 minutes to say something. And I'm like, you know what? I could do closeted work. But this was back like in the early 90s. And I was like, you know, I'm just going to just be gay. And so my mom, she was reading my work. And it's in the anthology, Aloud Voices from the New Rican Poets Cafe. It says, Reggie Cabico is a gay Filipino.
Who That was your coming out?
It was like that. And my mom was shocked. She was like... But Reggie, you are not gay. You are sissy. God created Adam and Eve, not Adam and Reggie. If you're gay, why are you advertising all the time? So it was definitely a challenge coming out. I guess all of that Catholicism just pent it up and I just...
It made you kinky.
It just burst.
Did it make you kinky? Because the Catholics I know, especially the lapsed Catholics, are some of the most perverse...
Oh, yeah. No, totally. I had a crush on my priest. Yeah, he was really hot. He smelled like Old Spice, had tight black Levi corduroys. and had bushy eyebrows like
tight,
shoes.
Tight corduroys on a priest?
Yes. He was really hot with the maroon eyes, that pullover sweater. He was fashionable. He looked like Jack Tripper in Three's Company.
Wow.
So hot. So hot. So that confused me a little bit. And
a little bit?
A little bit. Yeah, that's, yeah. So.
But you... That would confuse you a little bit. Okay, but so did you remain kind of in church and you know, like your family didn't like, you know, throw you to the wolves. They said, okay, you're gay, don't advertise it.
Right. Well, that's just too late. It's, you know, my sisters have been really supportive. And ironically, their names are Faith and Charity. And my name's Reggie. There is no hope in the family. And that was my mom's fault. Because if you're going to have Faith, Hope, and Charity, you want to have hope.
Of course you want to have
before
hope.
Faith and Charity. Charity's looking for a job in LA, and Faith is...
Quite literally?
Yes, yes.
Oh, so, not metaphorically.
No, exactly. It was like, you know, they should have called her employed or something instead of Charity.
So here at Catalyst Con, one of the things you're doing is you're presenting on a panel, which mm-hmm. is called Pride and Prejudice, Confronting Homophobia in Communities of Color. What have you seen? Have you seen a shift as you've been an out Filipino gay guy for mm-hmm. a while now, mm-hmm. right?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Have you seen a shift in how communities of color have dealt with their GLBT members? Or are we still in a place where those kind of intersections and those kind of conversations aren't happening?
I think, you know, the panel, Pride and Prejudice, that, you know, most Beasley, you know, curated is incredible. I think now we're really hitting this apex of communities coming together. And it's just also, you know, the trans community and also the queer spoken word community just coming out in such a way that is really inspiring. But at the same time, there's also, you think that you get ahead, but there's also more queerphobia happening. And, you know, I see it in the open mics. You know, you would think that after doing this work that we've been doing for so long that we could, in literature and in spoken word and open mics, you know, free people's ears and minds. But, you know, sometimes there's still that, and, you know, I do my stuff in D.C. at Busboys and Poets, and there's still some resistance. You know, whenever I do my, I have a queer open mic called Sparkle, and when I say, this is a queer open mic, people freak out. They're like, oh, I am so in the wrong place. I need to run. And it's just really sad. And I feel like not only is it just the queer issues, but also just the queer of color community within our own community trying to really, and a lot of that is in religion. And especially, you know, people of color are so religious, and, you know, my family is as well, but trying to dispel just the truth. And, you know, when I do my poems, I'm really trying to tell people this is who I am. And, you know, it's funny, it's sad, but this is who I am, you know. And I think if I can make that connection, then we can go further.
Well, let's talk about spoken word as an art form, as a form of activism, as a cultural communication, and why you think it's so important.
Well, the genre of spoken word that I come from is the poetry slam genre, which is where a poet has 3 minutes to perform his or her work without costumes, props, or music. So with that, it becomes the ultimate political theater. It is a three-minute solo play. It's a three-minute Broadway showstopper. And it's art for social change. So the power of being able to say whatever you want is something that we take for granted. And I think that is the way and the form that I have been able to prosper because it allows me to be me. You know, I was doing musical theater before poetry, but I just got tired of playing Chuno from West Side Story. Because it sucks, it all sucks. But when I do a poem, I could just be me and I could even be my queer me. I don't have to be closeted and I could just say what I want, and it's a relief to connect.
And I'm surprised that you're single, quite frankly.
Oh, thank you.
Because I would think that you would have these kind of groupies who would follow you around. Is that not the case?
You know, I
like,
don't...
do you get dates after you get off the stage?
I don't know. I just, you know, high school girls are my biggest groupies. Yeah. It's true.
Tell me about that.
I do a lot of arts education with youth in the high schools, middle schools. So it's the girls who come up to me. And if you are what you attract, then I am a high school girl. And I've realized this because, you know, the reason why I'm single is that I can't tell a guy that I'm attracted to him. Usually what I do is, like, I'll either bake him cookies or write him notes or, but that's what a high school girl does, you know, put notes in a guy's locker like that. And, you know, I am not a high school girl anymore. You know, I'm a grown man. I should be able to say to, you know, guy, hey, I'm feeling something and we should explore that. So I don't know. Maybe I'll grow up in that way, but.
Okay. Let's hold that thought. Okay. Don't grow up quite yet.
Okay.
We have to take a break.
Okay.
And hear from our fabulous sponsors, mm-hmm. including Good Vibrations. Good Vibrations is the original sex positive sex toy retailer. Go to goodvibes.com. You can get 15% off your order with the coupon code Tristan. Stay with us. More with poet and spoken word artist Reggie Cabico when we return.
Streaming live, the leader in internet talk radio, VoiceAmerica.com.
Good Vibrations is the San Francisco Bay Area-based women-friendly retailer trusted for more than 3 decades to provide a comfortable, welcoming, and safe environment for quality sex toys, educational materials, and products that enhance and empower one's sex life. Good Vibrations offers its products at 6 retail locations in San Francisco, Berkeley, and Oakland, California, and in Brookline, Massachusetts, as well as online at www.goodvibes.com. Online ordering is discreet and trusted. We believe that pleasure is your birthright, and one of our highly trained staff members can help you choose the product that is perfect for you at 1-800-BUY-VIBE. Call us 7 days a week from 8 a.m. to 8 p.m. Pacific Time at 1-800-289-8423 or visit us online at www.goodvibes.com.
Hi, I'm sex educator Elle Chase of LadyCheeky.com and SmutForSmarties.com. A strong pelvic floor is important to me, which is why I exercise it often with the Eevee Kegel Exerciser by Aneros. The Eevee is the one piece of exercise equipment that never collects dust in my place because it makes Kegel exercises virtually unnoticeable. In fact, I even drive with it in. To have your own Eevee experience, go to Aneros.com.
Enjoy better sex today. Find Eevee and the entire line of prostate massagers on Aneros.com. You can get 15% off and free shipping on orders over $75 by using the coupon code BETTERSEX. Sports Sheets is the sex toy company that's been keeping couples connected for over 20 years. Their fantasy restraint and sex toy products redefine sexual adventure. From bondage and sexual positioning to strap-ons and role play, Sports Sheets makes a toy for everyone's taste and budget. So go treat yourself to something from Sports Sheets, available wherever great sex products are sold.
You're tuned in to Sex Out Loud with your host, Tristan Taramino. We want to hear from you. If you have a question or comment, please send an email to Tristan@puckerup.com. That's Tristan@puckerup.com. Now back to the show.
Welcome back to Sex Out Loud. We're talking today with Reggie Cabico, and I think you're going to give us another piece.
Yes. This is in the anthology Flicker and Spark, which is nominated for a Lambda Literary Award Prize for anthology, along with your anthology.
We're not in the same category, so it's good.
Oh, we're not.
We
okay,
can totally
good.
Wish each other luck
okay,
and
yes.
mean it.
Okay. So this is about long distance love affair. And, you know, when you're texting someone from long distance and you can't say that you love them, as that is my problem. In the porno of my life, you'd be the never-before-seen bonus feature. And if masturbation made one blind, I'd keep jacking off to you so I could surrender all my senses of the world to your descriptions. Your poetry is so lonely. Orpheus wants you to be his lyricist. I feel affection, not affection. Not that I don't want to fuck you, I want to feck you, which is as close to fucking as I can get or say. Fucking is easy. It's like sucking a 24-hour Slurpee. I'd rather curl with you as you speak to me of strippers and wedding bands, and we channel our inner Clive Owen and bitch slap each other till the moon smirks fecklessly and we're lying like empty salt and pepper shakers till the loneliness is seasoned in feckable affection. In Ireland, feck means fuck, so I'm a frustrated leprechaun without a pot to piss or a rainbow to fuck. The Scots refer to feck as worthless and irresponsible, and yes, I have fucked so much. I have reached the feckful pinnacle of my life. I have fucked over mussels and towels from Montreal to Seattle and given more head than a soccer player scoring points in the nets. I have sucked victory and swallowed so much rejection. I left Simon Cowell's nipples hard and Nicki Minaj screaming next. I have fucked all the male Mexican folklorico dancers in North America till I was a broken Filipino piñata. And I have sucked so much cock. My mouth is perpetually in the year of the cock, with General Tso's roosters ruffling and crowing their way to the sunrise. And I have taken cock like a Chinese lion, climbing every orifice of my body straight up to heaven. And I have fucked so deeply, my penis invented new prepositional phrases. And I have fucked so profoundly, my dick reincarnated into Buddha, pulsating over a pair of lotus petals. And I'm afraid that after I fuck you, you just lay by my side like an empty Starbucks cup, staring at a lamp from IKEA. If only I could fall into you like chalk, I'd wear your halo and know what it feels like when an Aztec's heart is ripped out. And on those tequila nights when you text me, miss you, cause you're stumbling in the tenderloin like a colonized junkie looking for flesh. I'm in DuPont Circle like a lost taqueria truck texting you back, wish we were drinking together. And when you text me back, wish we were in Spain or the moon, I want to tell you fiercely that the world is sturdy and that poetry can hold us up.
Oh, Reggie.
And I wrote it for a guy, and he goes, I didn't know that you liked me like that. And I'm like, I wrote 30 poems with your name on it. Like, what is so subtle about that?
Wow, but that one was, that one went to a really good place for me.
It was
that was good.
You,
that was. I mean that it, it. I was with you with like the funny taqueria truck and everything, and then all of a sudden it was like I'm going to burst into tears.
I'm going to burst into tears too.
Oh, good. No, it was really. I mean, you have this way of talking about desire and love and sex that's so visceral that we're all in the room, kind of a little bit heated up. Is that? Is it just me? No, okay, good. It's just not just me. Not just me. And we have some questions from our audience. So you've obviously, you've sparked something.
My name is Evan.
Okay.
Evan is so cute.
Thank you.
You can't see, but we can.
Now, in your works, it occurred to me that there's this big focus on the sensory, especially in the first one, it was mm-hmm. olfactory. Now,
right.
Is that deliberate or just a convenient simile?
Oh, you know, it was just, oh, I like convenient simile. That turns me on when you say that.
You started it.
Point.
Oh,
point.
Wow. Smell. It just became, I just started literally, and then I just started just to go, just go over the top. I forget what it's called, but when you say there's a sour note, you know, how does one thing, and so it's just sort of, it, for me, it's just a way of combining senses and things that are visceral. And I love using pop culture, so, in my work. So that was with the smell. I'm not usually driven by smell, usually.
You're not?
No.
Oh,
I'm
see,
not.
I would have guessed you were based on.
Based on that.
Yeah.
But I think that
well,
was sort of.
Yeah, the first one, there was a lot of smell.
Yeah, so I think that was an exercise because I don't usually use smell as a catalyst to write poems. So that was just sort of the
an exercise we did to try that. So
nice. Yeah. Okay, we got another question.
Hi, my name is Britt, and I have just a really quick question for you.
Sure.
And my question is, what is your favorite word for genitalia?
Oh.
That's a good question.
What is my favorite word for genitalia? Fleshy popsicle.
Fleshy popsicle, what else? Not just cock? What about
gummy,
just cock?
Cock, I like cock.
Yeah.
I like cock.
But, member?
You know, I don't like member. Just
too exclusive?
Yeah.
Yeah. Exclusionary. Just too. Doesn't feel like community.
Okay, yeah.
So tell me about this book. The piece that you read at the top was from this new anthology of yours. Mm-hmm. Tell me who's in this book and what it's all about.
Well, Flicker and Spark is a collection of queer poets from North America and the UK. What Brittany Fonte, who's a co-editor, and I wanted to do was really create an international gathering of queer poets from slam, not slam, but it was just trying to see how, and on the intergenerational level, so you'll have like an older generation, middle generation, and some of the younger poets, and seeing what they're talking about, how language changes, and it's just an incredible collection. And I think this, I also run a festival called Capturing Fire, which this year, this festival happens in Washington, D.C., May 30th, the 31st, and the 1st of June. And this is where all the poets are gathering from throughout North America and the UK in a poetry slam, but there's also panels and workshops.
How do people find out about that?
Capturingfire.org. Check it out. The D.C. Center, the Gay Center in D.C. has been a wonderful support for the festival. And when I moved to D.C. from New York, I really wanted to bring spoken word to D.C. Just to combine it with the political, because I feel that spoken word in D.C. is just so necessary, and working with all of the queer community. And it's just been really, I love New York, but D.C. has been such a wonderful base. So.
And so, yeah, how is it different? I mean, we're here in the seat of power and all of that. How do you think the spoken word is reflected in, you know, different geographically from what people are talking about in New York and what people want to talk about here?
Well, I think, you know, festivals like Capturing Fire and Split This Rock and Busboys and Poets have really made a home for spoken word. But for me, you know, there's always that conservative edge in D.C., that marble, that suited Ralph Lauren and Taylorness that's... you know, just a little uptight. And so, like me, I just love to shatter that and just, you know, just rip the clothes off of that conservative.
Yeah. Because I do think that there's, you know, I feel like every time you run into someone, they're somehow connected to the government or to Capitol Hill. And so it's like everyone wants to be so discreet about everything. But they're all just pervy and poly and queer.
Exactly.
But then they just like, I'm not telling you my real name.
Yeah, but you have to go through the security codes and the marble and all of that to the perviness.
And you get there.
Yeah, and hopefully you'll find me in there. In the pervy world. I love pervy.
I think we will. Well, thank you so much for being on the show, Reggie.
Thank you so much. I hope to come back again. This is so
fun. Yes. Reggie Cabico is the host of La Ti Do, a weekly cabaret and spoken word series. His latest solo play is Godiva Dates and One Night Stand. Follow him on Facebook, facebook.com/Reggie with 1G, Cabico, C-A-B-I-C-O. All of these links and more can be found at sexoutloudradio.com. Coming up next, we will have sex educator and media personality Twana Hines. So stay with us.
The Internet's number one talk station. Number one talk station. VoiceAmerica.com.
Enhance pleasure for you and the ones you love to love with Astroglide personal lubricants. Astroglide provides that extra oomph in creating a better and more exciting sexual experience. Astroglide's wide product range allows you to pick and choose based on personal preferences. All the products are also latex condom compatible, allowing for safer sex practices. Astroglide values the benefits of a fun and healthy sex life as part of a happier lifestyle. And so should you. For more information and a free sample, visit astroglide.com and get your sex life to blast off today.
Good Vibrations is the San Francisco Bay Area-based women-friendly retailer trusted for more than three decades to provide a comfortable, welcoming, and safe environment for quality sex toys, educational materials, and products that enhance and empower one's sex life. Good Vibrations offers its products at six retail locations in San Francisco, Berkeley, and Oakland, California, and in Brookline, Massachusetts, as well as online at www.goodvibes.com. Online ordering is discreet and trusted. We believe that pleasure is your birthright, and one of our highly trained staff members can help you choose the product that is perfect for you at 1-800-BUY-VIBE. Call us 7 days a week from 8 a.m. to 8 p.m. Pacific Time at 1-800-289-8423 or visit us online at www.goodvibes.com.
Ready to take your sex life to the next level? Let Tristan Taramino's award-winning expert guide sex education series help. Each DVD is packed with honest information, explicit techniques, scorching sex scenes, authentic chemistry, and real female orgasms. Go to puckerup.com and use coupon code SEXOUTLOUD for 25% off your order.
You're tuned in to Sex Out Loud with your host, Tristan Taramino. We want to hear from you. If you have a question or comment, please send an email to Tristan at puckerup.com. That's Tristan at puckerup.com. Now back to the show.
Welcome back to Sex Out Loud. Our next guest is here, and if anyone can follow Reggie Cabico, it is this woman. Tuana Hines is an award-winning educator, sex advisor, columnist, and TV and radio commentator focused on the sociology of sexuality and its relationship to culture and internet technology. The founder of Funky Brown Chick, registered trademark, she has contributed to CNN, NPR, Sirius, Time Out New York, Lifetime, Mashable, Nerve, New York Press, Fast Company, and the Huffington Post. She's also worked with health policymakers and elected officials and for the University of Chicago, Newsweek, and the U.S. State Department. Please welcome Tuana Hines.
Happy to be here.
Oh, good. It's funny that you work for the State Department and we're here in Washington, D.C. for Catalyst.
Yeah, it's like full circle round.
Full circle.
Completely.
So I know that you do a lot of speaking and teaching on college campuses. What would you say are the things that students are most preoccupied with right now? What are their issues and their concerns?
The question always seems to come down to, is there something wrong with me? And so all of the questions are like, oh, I haven't had sex yet and I'm 21 already. Is that weird? Or my boyfriend wants to have sex all the time and my sex drive isn't like his. Is that normal? So all of the questions that I get asked, whether it's for my column with Metro New York and Boston and Philly or if it's on college campuses, it all kind of boils down to that.
I think that people are constantly kind of comparing themselves to this thing that they think everyone else is doing or everyone else is. And it's just a total fabrication and mythology.
Yeah.
Because they're just convinced everyone's having this kind of sex and I'm weird.
Or that there's an answer. That and also that there's an answer. Like 2 + 2 = 4. What's the right answer to the amount of sex that I should be having? For someone my gender, my age, things like that, how much sex should I be having? This idea that there's one right answer. And of course, we all know that that's not true,
right,
which makes sex so fun and delicious.
Well, you also talk a lot about dating.
Yes.
And you've got a lot of dating advice and articles on your website. When someone first comes to you and says, okay, I'm back in the dating scene, what's like one of your top tips that you give them about how to navigate, you know, our modern way of dating and relating?
Yeah. My top tip is look for trends and look for a break in trend. And so most recent question was just yesterday. That's going to show up in the column. And it was from a woman who said, you know, I went online dating for the first time. Went out on the date. Super interested in me. Wednesday, we went out again on Friday. Super interested. Saturday, said he wasn't feeling well, so we would get together on Tuesday, but then he didn't return my call. And I was like, oh, I see where this is going. And so I always say everybody's got their own way of being in a relationship. Some people like monogamy. Some people like polyamory. Some people like men. Some like women. Some like both. Some like a little bit of everything. So everybody's got their own gig, right? And so it's like when you're interacting with someone and you want to know what's up, look and see if there's been any change in the way that they're interacting with you, whether it's change for good or more interaction, less, what have you. Just watch for pattern because everybody behaves differently. So you're just looking for something that they, in particular, have changed.
And what do you think as someone who began dating before there was online dating and who now navigates that world? Like, what do you think are some of the major differences?
Oh, this is a good question. I love this.
In the way that we sort of go about it.
Absolutely. So one of the things is people ask, you know, like, is it better to date online? You know, for example, should I be signing up for Tinder and Match and JDate and OkCupid and all of these things? Or should I be meeting people via friends and things like that? Doesn't really matter how you meet someone. It's like, what do you want? You know, are you looking for a casual hookup, you know? Are you looking for someone who's going to stay in your life a little bit longer? Are you looking for several people to be in your life a little bit longer? So it's kind of like, what are you looking for? And then find the outlet that's going to give that to you, I would say.
And do you think it is easier in some ways to go online? Because you, I don't know, it seems to me you have access to just way more people.
Absolutely, absolutely. Because how many people can you meet out in one night? But if you're online,
right.
Endless, endless possibilities, not only in your city, but further away if you're willing for that and things like that.
And do you think it's true that introverts do better than they would have done if there was no internet? Because they get to like put it all out on a, you know, they get to edit it and carefully craft it and then put it out there and they don't have to actually talk to anyone or make that first overture.
Yeah, or worry so much about how they're automatically going to respond to whatever you would say. And so you've got that. So introverts are like a special little breed. I'm an extreme extrovert. And so, yeah, you
oh,
may not have noticed.
Extreme extrovert.
Yeah. So like if there's like kind of a continuum of how you feel comfortable and things, I'm kind of on this end.
You're like way over.
Yeah, exactly. Okay. Way far over to that side. And so introversion is always interesting to me. I tend to date people who are a little bit more.
Really? Okay, that makes sense.
Balance is good.
So on your website recently, funkybrownchick.com, you wrote this post about interracial dating. Yes. And OkCupid, it was a whole thing about OkCupid came out with these statistics on how the race of the message sender and the race of the message receiver affected how many people got how many hits and how much interest, essentially. For those who haven't read it, can you briefly just summarize it?
Absolutely. So OkCupid does OkTrends. And so they're not the only website that does this, but a lot of dating websites say, hey, we've got all these people dating on our sites. We've got stats. We can actually pull hard data to say what's going on in dating, like who hooks up with who answers who, and things like that. And so they broke it apart by ethnicity. And so they were saying, you know, like nobody likes black women. Like that's a simplification of it. But basically, if you are black and female, people are less likely to respond to you than if you were, say, Asian American or white or something like that. And so they put out these trends, and so everybody jumped on it. I think while Wall Street Journal, The Economist, and everybody started writing about like interracial trends and what's going on with black women. Why are there so many black women? Are they all going to die alone? What are we going to do? Poor, poor black women. So that's the summary.
And what do you yourself as a black woman think of all of this?
I'm a black woman.
I just wanted to give you guys a hint out there.
I know, because they can't see me. Exactly, exactly. But yeah, so my thing on this is that data is only as good as the people who gave it to you. So if, for example, blackpeoplemeet.com or blacksingles.com were to put out some stats about their users to say the strangest thing happens. Would you believe people go to blackpeoplemeet.com to find black women? It's the craziest thing, right? So it's kind of like, you got to remember, like, where are these stats coming from? And if you are specifically interested in finding a black woman, regardless of your ethnicity, you got a better chance of finding more on Black Singles or blackpeoplemeet.com or another dating site that caters to dating black people, I would say.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Okay. So we're going to take a break.
Okay.
And hear from our sponsors, including
who are the sponsors?
Astroglide.
Yes, yes.
Astroglide Lube makes sex better. Go to astroglide.com for a free sample. And also WeVibe. WeVibe is here at Catalyst Con. They're doing some fabulous giveaways of some of their toys. Not only do they have the WeVibe 4, they have the WeVibe Thrill and the Tango. It's a great company, great toys. Canadian, those Canadians.
Love Canadians.
Yeah.
Oh, look at that. Canadian okay. love in the room.
So we're going to take a break. And when we come back, we're going to talk more about sex in our modern world with Twana Hines.
Streaming live. The leader in internet talk radio. VoiceAmerica.com.
Turn off the TV and pick up the remote control that is sure to please. Worn while making love, the WeVibe 3 features whisper quiet motors that will keep you anything but quiet. We can't help it if the rechargeable battery lasts longer than you do. Learn more about the world's number one vibrator for couples at WeVibe.com. WeVibe, share the pleasure.
Good Vibrations is the San Francisco Bay Area-based women-friendly retailer trusted for more than three decades to provide a comfortable, welcoming, and safe environment for quality sex toys, educational materials, and products that enhance and empower one's sex life. Good Vibrations offers its products at six retail locations in San Francisco, Berkeley, and Oakland, California, and in Brookline, Massachusetts, as well as online at www.goodvibes.com. Online ordering is discreet and trusted. We believe that pleasure is your birthright, and one of our highly trained staff members can help you choose the product that is perfect for you at 1-800-BUY-VIBE. Call us 7 days a week from 8 a.m. to 8 p.m. Pacific Time at 1-800-289-8423 or visit us online at www.goodvibes.com.
Ready to take your sex life to the next level? Let Tristan Taramino's award-winning expert guide sex education series help. Each DVD is packed with honest information, explicit techniques, scorching sex scenes, authentic chemistry, and real female orgasms. Go to puckerup.com and use coupon code SEXOUTLOUD for 25% off your order.
You're tuned in to Sex Out Loud with your host, Tristan Taramino. We want to hear from you. If you have a question or comment, please send an email to Tristan at puckerup.com. That's Tristan at puckerup.com. Now back to the show.
Welcome back to Sex Out Loud. We've been talking today with Twana Hines, who is a presenter here at Catalyst Con East, where we're talking in front of a live studio audience. This is a particularly rowdy one. Of all the shows I've done, I'm just going to say it.
Really?
This is the rowdiest crowd we've had.
We're turning them on.
Yeah, I know.
I like this.
Okay, and we've got another question.
I'm Evan.
Hi, Evan.
Hi. I was curious. You're talking about how we're getting these okay trends and all of this niche dating is starting to see kind of a renaissance. Are you worried that we're just going to keep fragmenting and splitting off to the point where people are not going to be dating outside of their comfort zone anymore?
Ooh, that's a very good question.
No, it is a really good question. I had the same thought. It's like, I like that people know kind of who their type is or what you like and what you don't like. But then I also feel like you find love in unexpected places.
Abs-fucking-lutely. Abs-fucking-lutely.
You know, some of the best people in my life, including that one over there, I was not looking. I so was not looking.
I think this is one of the most delicious things about life, right? It's like if you ask anyone who's had a successful, healthy relationship, were they the person that you were looking for? More than not, the answer to that is no. And as much as we're seeing a lot of these like niche dating sites and all of these like data coming out and things like that about dating, we're also seeing sites like Tinder is a website, an app and things like that. And you're going only by like, is this person hot? Doesn't matter if they're tall or short or where they're from or something. Like, do my eyeballs like looking at them? And do I think that they're sexy? And you either swipe yes, swipe no, or respond to that email that they send you with your one picked person and things like that. And so I do believe that there will always be spaces to find love and unexpected little corners.
But do you also think there's a kind of an instant gratification piece of these apps as well? Because it seems to me that like the gay guys I know who use the apps, it's more about like geographical location and like if you're nearby and you want, you know, you're into what I'm into. Yeah, let's go.
Absolutely.
Right.
But, you know, and that's the same, like if you're at the bar, it's like, and if you pick up somebody at the bar, it's like even more hyper, like geographic. Who's in this bar with me?
Right.
And
now
we've both been drinking and now we're dancing. He's kind of like grinding. I can feel he's kind of got a heart on. It's kind of turned me on a little bit. It's like, let's go. Like, let's go. And so whether it's an app or whether it's online, offline, we're still doing a lot of the same thing.
Yeah. Yeah.
Great question, Evan.
We've got some more questions.
Oh, I love this. It's a little train of questions.
Hi, my name's Elena. I was curious, you were talking about how you tend to date introverts. And in your experience with that, what would be your tips for introverts in dating?
What do introverts do to find other people? One, there's the rise of these niche dating sites, as I said. Like if you Google introverts dating, you'll probably find a meetup group. I know here in DC, there's a specific meetup group for introverts who are interested in meeting other introverts. Exactly. So Google's one place to go. Two, friends. You know, if it drains you, if you're an introvert and you're listening right now and you think it drains me to be in crowds of people, you probably already go out in social places and things like that. So network via friends. So that's a good way to go and things like that. So yeah.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Great question. I would also just say, you know, the fake it till you make it thing, which is that no one knows that you're shy or insecure before they meet you, right? And so you just, even if you're not feeling like I'm the queen of the world, simply walking up to someone and starting a conversation and putting yourself out there as if you weren't, you know, inside your little shell, yeah, can kind of get the ball rolling. And, you know, you just have to kind of summon the courage to do it, I guess. Right?
Absolutely. Great advice. Yeah. Great advice. And always remember, you are the queen of your own world.
Yeah.
You are queen of Tristan Lynn.
I'm actually queen of much more things. But, okay.
Kick ass. Another question.
Had to say it.
Hi, I'm Kale. I had a question for both of you. As sex educators who often talk to all kinds of different people, do you just hear, have you heard it all, or do you hear things that surprise you? And what was the last thing that surprised you?
Ooh, that's good. I think people tend to confess, and I actually use the word confess because we silo out sexuality as if it's something we should be ashamed of or quiet about or very private about or something like that. And so people tend to take a confessional tone and say things that they typically don't say to me or to, I'm sure, other educators and things like that, that they don't even tell people they're in their lives because they feel embarrassed or private or things like that. I'm not easily shocked. I can't say that there's anything that shocked me recently.
Yeah, and I mean, I would echo that. No, I think I have heard it all, but that's kind of the beauty of it, which is that when someone comes to you and says, I know with 100% certainty you have never heard of this sexual practice, sexual identity, turn on, kink, fetish, whatever it is. I mean, they are sure, and then they blurt it out, and I'm like, not only have I heard of it, like some of my best friends are into that, and I can give you phone numbers of people who are into that, and there's a whole meetup for that. For me, I feel more strongly connected to people when we don't all feel so different and alone and isolated in our own desires, because they ultimately all do overlap. I think the only questions that personally stump me are often really specific medical questions that people ask me. So in the course of a class on female ejaculation or anal sex, then someone will say, like, I had this kind of surgery on my body, and how is that going to impact my ability to have sex or an orgasm? So they're like really sort of technical questions that I would say are like, oh, no one's ever asked me that before. But nothing having to do with what they're into.
Yeah.
No.
Everything under the sun is possible.
Good question.
Thank you for asking.
Next question. All these people, by the way,
are sexy as hell.
They're
first
great,
of all.
And they have great questions, and they're also, you know, why else they're asking questions? Because they're all winning prizes.
Oh,
they're winning prizes. So Sports Sheets is going to give away prizes to some of these lucky audience members, and this happens with listeners on my live shows, and then I'm also giving away some of my porn movies. So it's kind of a, you know, a cornucopia of prizes.
Awesome.
Go.
Hi, I'm Tonya. I was wondering if you could give some tips on how to make a good online dating profile.
Ooh, this is good. Okay, because I actually write, people don't know this, but I write almost all of my friends' profiles. They come over to my house, they bring wine, because that's the requirement, and then I write their profiles for them.
No, this is a job. I know people who consult and do this.
Yeah, Judy McGuire does it.
She writes, Charlie Knox does that.
There are a lot of people who write, I love this stuff. Keep it short. Keep it absolutely short. I'm of the vein, when you're writing an email, if you can't, and I got this from Zen Habits, I think, or something. If you can't state what you want to say in an email in 5 sentences, you don't know what you want to say. And so I say with an online dating profile, if you can't write up your entire profile in 5 paragraphs, like all the sections together, 5 paragraphs, you're not sure how you're trying to present yourself. So I would say start by saying, what are the 5 paragraphs that I would write? Don't do it on the profile. Do it separate. Do it on Word. Write it out in hand if you prefer. Keep it to 5 paragraphs and then flower that shit up. And so, like, if you find that your paragraphs are about how much you like to read, about your travels, about your cat, about whatever, get that and then punch it up a little bit where it's like, I travel like a motherfucker. Some of my favorite places are this. You know, it's like, start with the simple stuff, flower it up, keep it simple. Pictures. 5 to 10 max. If you have one, they're going to wonder, oh, is this their best picture? And they look awkward in other ones. So have at least 5. Don't go more than 10. Have a full body shot because they'll think you're hiding something if they can't see it. Just like if you ask them questions about their life and they never answer about this one thing, you're like, what the fuck are they hiding? Same thing goes for pictures. So tons of tips, but we've got other questions too. Feel free to email me if you have more.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Great. Okay. Our next question.
Be still, my heart.
Hi. I'm Jamie.
Hi, Jamie.
Hi there. I was interested in the OkCupid story that you told about how OkCupid trend said that no one's dating black American women, I think. So I'm interested in where you might draw the line between advice that's based on good data and advice that's based on bad data.
Awesome question. God, I love you. Okay, so what I would say, I actually did my degrees in sociology and specifically quantitative. So like looking at large data sets and crunching numbers and digging into it and things. One of the biggest differences between good data and bad data is, are they being truthful about what they're capturing? One of the pieces that I wrote for Huffington Post was about Freakonomics. They did a similar thing where they're like, interracial kids are gorgeous, way more gorgeous than either black or white kids. And it was like, one, how the fuck are you measuring that? Where are you getting that? And so it's like, be that true, be that false. I want to know kind of where they're getting this info. So I reach into it and I go into their, you know, variables of how they're capturing it. And basically what they said was that they had their researchers go and they were doing these interviews with these questions. And then the researchers themselves said, is this kid a 10? Is this kid a 5? Are they a 1? So the researchers themselves, and you can say, well, what ethnicity were these researchers? How old were they? Were they more likely to be men or women? Things like that. They were saying, we think that interracial kids are hotter. So they were just rating them higher than black children or white children. So I was like, wow, that's ugly data and ugly researchers. And so like I wrote this whole piece on just kind of like, we don't need to be afraid of numbers or data. It's like, really look at what is the story that's being told. Are they being honest about the information that they're giving out and where they're getting it, how they're finding it, and who are the storytellers? And so I think if you're very honest about those, anyone should be able to dig in and find out where you got your information and where your biases lie, because we're all biased in some way or another.
I totally agree with you. And I think it's especially true that there are really egregious biases operating around sex research.
Absolutely.
I mean, all these studies come out, does the G-spot exist, blah, blah, blah. You know, and I go and read the original study because there's all these sound bites about it, but they don't make any sense. And then when you go and dig into the data and the way in which questions were framed or how it was collected, it's like, wait a second. This is really seriously flawed. And if we were researching anything else, they wouldn't have even approved this. So I do feel like you have to have a really critical eye when it comes to sex, because all of these assumptions are even built into the question. I can remember this G-spot study where they concluded that we still don't know if there's a G-spot. And then it was based on a study that was simply asking women questions. And one of the questions was, do you have a so-called G-spot? really? So you're just going to undermine the whole thing just right there in the question, really?
Yeah.
And then actually, like, I think 58% of women said they did, and something like 60% or more of women under 30 said they did. And so then when you, like, dig even deeper, you see these trends that actually do make sense to my own anecdotal evidence, my own experience in communities, and why it is that younger women are more aware of their sexuality than older women and all this stuff. And so you've got to dig into it and not sort of take the media soundbite clip, which is just, is often a total misinterpretation.
Absolutely.
Just for their own purposes.
Absolutely.
For a good headline.
Yeah. And which is why podcasts like this and people who are out there actually making media and spreading information and things like that are so important, is that we need to make sure that the people who actually are passionate about understanding what this shit is about are out there producing the research and the data and doing the education and putting things out like this. So it's very important that we're doing what we're doing right now.
We've got time for one more question. That was a good one.
Yes.
No pressure.
Oh, I never succumb to pressure.
Ooh.
My name's Cassandra. I'm poly, pan, and kinky.
Hi, Cassandra.
Hi. So you were saying earlier that you're very extroverted, extreme extroverted,
extremely,
and that you have a tendency to date introverted people.
Yeah.
My question is somewhat related to that. I used to think I was an extrovert and have recently figured out that I'm an introvert, which is, you know, big eye-opening thing. But especially in your line of work with sex education, you have to talk about sex so openly with so many people. And that is one part of my extroversion I still hold on to. But I tend to choose partners who are really concerned about privacy and really concerned about who hears about what kind of sex they're having or what they're into. And I just wonder how you navigate that with an introverted partner who's maybe much more private than you and wouldn't want you speaking about your sex life with them out in public.
Because there's two different things, right? It's like you can talk about sex without talking about your own private sex life. And so I'd say that, you know, as an educator, and I mean, I've worked with universities, I've worked with nonprofits and things like that. And so I don't necessarily go into a classroom and start the education about my personal life. It's more about like STIs, STDs. It's about healthy relationships, what emotional abuse looks like these types of things. So it's not necessarily specifically about that. That said, in my personal life and finding a partner and an introvert, and they're like, wait, what do you do exactly? So when you say sex educator, like, or that column that you wrote under your own name and your face and things like that, like, I don't know if I'm comfortable with that and things like that. It's like we are all drawn to whoever we are for different reasons. I tend to date introverts. I love men who are very fiercely defending like individual rights type things, like freedom of speech, which is a big thing if you're writing about sex, because I know my website's blocked from a lot of employers, a lot of, you know, libraries. They won't burn my fucking book, but they won't have my website shown in their library. So like stuff like that. So I think I'm just personally very drawn to people who are somewhat more relaxed and reserved, but they'll be damn sure they're not going to let anyone violate your rights, their rights, or anyone else's rights. Like, that tends to be kind of what I'm drawn to. So, yeah.
Yeah, and I would say I think it's a really good question. As someone who does draw on my own experience, and I've written a lot about my own experiences, I definitely check in with people before I write about them, and I get their consent. And my partner is way more private, way, way, way more private than I am. And so there has to be a balance struck between what I can share about things that are beyond me and my experience about our sex life or about our relationship. And so I think it just requires like a check-in about what everyone's comfortable with. It's like kind of comes back to consent.
Absolutely.
You know? So we're out of time, but
no,
those were good audience questions.
Yes.
Thanks for taking all of them, and thanks for being here on Sex Out Loud.
Thanks for having me.
Tawana Hines is an award-winning educator, sex advisor, columnist, and media personality. You can find out more about her at funkybrownchick.com. Follow her on Twitter and Facebook at funkybrownchick. All of these links and more can be found at sexoutloudradio.com. Click on the link for episode resources. You can always find me at puckerup.com and on Twitter at Tristan Terramino. I want to thank my incredible studio audience. And that amazing team that makes this show. Executive producer Karen Dana, associate producer Raymond Johnson, segment producer and editor Colton, announcer Cooper Beckett from Life on the Swing Set, Matt, my engineer, and everyone at Voice America. Tune in next Friday at 5 p.m. Pacific, 8 p.m. Eastern for another edition of Sex Out Loud. Until then, I encourage you to keep the discussion going. Go to facebook.com/AskTristan or Twitter @SexOutLoudRadio. And in your own life, take some time to talk about sex out loud.
That's a wrap on today's show. Go to voiceamerica.com to listen to this and other episodes on demand or as podcasts. And make sure you come back next Friday night at 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 Pacific, for Sex Out Loud with Tristan Taramino on Voice America Variety.
Sex Out Loud is brought to you by Good Vibrations, creating a buzz since 1977.